This is so exciting. Listen to this. Listen. It's a Lightning Kugel Summer Shandy! Yeah, Christmas came late this year, but it came. Hey, hi, how are you? It's Andy. Andy's Things and Stuff, episode 17. Oh, just me this week. Just me. Because the people I asked to come on were like, I want to do it in person. I don't want to do it over internet. Meh. Okay, fine. Weenies. It's fine. Be a wiener. Whatever. Yeah, Lightning Kugel Summer Shandy. Back on the shelves. Just in time for the start and for the end of the NFL regular season. Just in time for the end of the regular season Summer Shandy. Yeah. The, if you're like, really? Summer Shandy's back on the shelves again? Yeah, this is the new stuff. This is 2023. Well, it was probably brewed in 2022, but... No, it always comes back. Hy-Vee always gets it real early, and I'm good with that. A number of years ago, I think like the second year after I'd gotten turned on to it, it was out in February, and then like every year since, it's been in January sometime, and I got a message from a guy on Instagram. I want to give him credit. It was Lucas sent me a message on Facebook or Instagram that Summer Shandy was back at Hy-Vee, and I'm like, sweet! So I go to my nearest Hy-Vee, and they didn't have it. But then I went to the second nearest Hy-Vee, and they had it there. So Summer Shandy's back. Thank you, Lightning Kugels. But could you just make it all year long? They've got a whole variety pack of shit nobody wants to drink. But they pull Summer Shandy off the shelves. Like, that those variety packs are going to be there until they just throw them away. Until they reach their expiration date. They're not going to sell them. They're just going to be garbage. Anyway, SiouxFallsShooting.com. Proud sponsor of the podcast. Because it's my business. I have just 4 spots left in the South Dakota Enhanced class for this coming Saturday. That is... the 14th. I take that back. I have 5 spots left. I was mistaken. I have 5 spots left for this Saturday, January 14th. That'll be at the Garrettson Sportsman's Club. If you go to I-90, exit 410, go north 5 miles, that's where we'll be. We do the shooting and everything indoors, and it's heated, so it'll be nice. I don't know what the weather's supposed to be like. Hopefully it's not another blizzard, because Lord knows we've had enough of that crap lately. But that... class allows you to get the South Dakota Enhanced permit that allows you to carry your pistol with you into Minnesota or Nebraska, because without it, you can't, legally anyway. Or as someone I know who says, well, concealed carry is legal everywhere if you're not a bitch. Anyway, SiouxFallsShooting.com. You can sign up for that class. No, I would not advocate doing that illegally. That'll get you into some trouble, but I just think that's a funny sentiment. Also, Intro to Handgun this Sunday. I've got plenty of room in that class on Sunday. That's at 1 o'clock, same place, Garrettson Sportsman's Club. Sign up at SiouxFallsShooting.com. Also, Pistol Skills coming up on February 5th. That's not even the Super Bowl this year, is it? Isn't the Super Bowl's in March now, right? I think. Yeah. So anyway, SiouxFallsShooting.com. Part of this episode will be kind of me just really describing classes, but there's a whole bunch of stuff I just want to talk about, just random things happening. But I also wanted to just talk about my classes. Like, I just might as well do a deep dive on, like, so what would you say you do here? Well, here's what you can expect if you go to one of my classes. Actually, Dan Bursch, who was on my last episode, we both had the same elk tag in Harding County. He actually gave a pretty good description of what my class was like. And if you want to, towards the end of that episode, he mentioned that. Anyway, SiouxFallsShooting.com, sign up for a class. Thank you. I spent most of the day today after I woke up with a migraine. That was awesome. I didn't wake up with the headache. I woke up with the spots in my vision where, like, if you've never had a migraine before, at least ocular migraines, the way I get them, if you try to look at one spot, you can't see it. It's like this dead zone in your vision. It's like if somebody held up like an invisibility cloak over that area, like it's just that missing, it's a missing gap in your vision, a missing spot. kind of like Camera Flash, but different. It's instead of like being like the remnants of the Flash, it's just a dead zone. And I woke up and I couldn't even read the time on my phone because of that. And I'm like, shit, migraine's coming. And they can either hit fast or they hit slow. This one hit kind of slow. And I took the old Excedrin migraine, which does the trick. I don't have the fancy medicine, but I took that and it makes it bearable. I don't get them real bad. Like some people get them real bad. I don't get them terrible. They're just annoying. They're just like a day killer. It basically ruined 3.5-4 hours of my day that I would have loved to have had back. Cause this was like, I realized it was hitting about 6:30. Well, I made breakfast and like the spots went away, and usually 20 minutes after the spots go away, that's when the headache kicks in. Nope, not today. It took about an hour. Cause just as I was dropping my daughter and neighbor girl off at school, that's when it started kicking in. And okay, I'm starting to sweat for no reason and my head hurts. Not bad, but too much to be productive. So I'm going to go sit in the dark with sunglasses on and turn on the TV because the TV's too bright. I'm going to wear sunglasses to watch TV. And I didn't really watch TV. I kind of dozed off half the time anyway. So that sucked. And then I spent the rest of my day pretty much butchering elk. Now, if you're like, wait a minute, Andy, you got your elk like a week and a half ago. Yes, 12 days ago to be exact. The quarters have been hanging in my garage since I got back, and they have a beautiful rind all the way around them. They were aging for a couple of weeks. They're fantastic. And so then I was getting meat off the bone, and I got started with that today, getting ready to grind some of it into burger, and some of it will become steaks and roasts and all that. The back straps, I got those cut up into steaks. How many did I get? Was it 16? It was either 14 or 16 steaks total that I got out of the two gigantic back straps off of that elk. Oh my gosh, it's so much meat. It's so good. I cooked it up last week. I mentioned it on the podcast. It's amazing. It's so good. Anyway, but here's a weird thing. I don't know if I ever mentioned this when I was on the radio, but whenever I butcher a deer or an elk, and if you've ever done this yourself, even if you don't butcher it, if you just have, you go hunting and you got your animal or whatever, there's this very, very strange phenomenon where for the next day or two after you are cutting up an animal, your farts smell like that animal. They just do. At least to you, they do. Now, like on the way to Ninja tonight with my son, I said I farted in the car and it was awful because it was the exact wrong combination. I had eggs for breakfast and Qdoba for lunch. And if I have those two things in the same day that evening, my ass is awful. So to him, it just smelled like, I actually asked him, I was like, what did it smell like? It smells like dad butt. Yes. Yes, it did. To me, it smelled like elk. It had this hint of elk meat to it. I can't explain it. I was actually listening to, I think it was Meat Eater. They were talking about the meat fart phenomenon, and it's not a real thing. It's not like there's molecules of meat getting into your body making your farts smell like the meat. It's literally some sort of psychosomatic thing where there's something in the fart that reminds you of the meat. And so for a couple of days I've got fart memories in my brain, and I got the front legs done today. I'll get the hind legs done tomorrow, and holy shit, is that gonna be a lot of meat. Like, the front legs were massive. Also, something I'm doing for the first time. It was one of those things I always wanted to do, but by the time I got done, I never did. But now with gigantic bones left over, I'm going to make some stock. I think I'm also going to cook up some marrow bones to like just eat the bone marrow. I've never tried that before. I'm kind of excited to do that. Mostly, I just want the game stock because I love making stew out of either venison or this time elk. Yeah, it's pretty funny. But my farts smell like elk meat to me right now. That's a thing. I've got a summer shandy in my hand. Oh. Yeah. We've gotten a lot of snow lately. I don't know if you noticed or not, but the reading at the airport, of course, was always, it never fails. It's always like significantly less than what pretty much everybody in town got. So I remember seeing the National Weather Service said, well, Sioux Falls got 12 and a half inches of snow in the storm that hit early last week. And my driveway would like to say, bullshit, National Weather Service. We got at least 17 inches of snow, probably 18 to 19, depending on where you measured. It also throws me off because there was a lot of snow already on the ground. So, and around my mailbox, like my mailbox, like many mailboxes right now, are essentially being dug out of the ice planet Hoth from Star Wars. It's like the bunker that the Rebel base was in. That's what mailboxes look like right now. The Rebel base on Hoth. They're just, you got to carve it out of the snow. It's just crazy. That snowstorm last week was just, it was a fun one. It's the first time my wife and I, after, we don't live in like a super steep hilly neighborhood, but it's just steep enough where you will get stuck real easy in the snow. And so we've had four-wheel drive vehicles for a long time because of this. Both my truck and her Suburban could not get out. Like, it was just too much snow. It was too... Plus, there was like a layer of ice that worked its way in there. It was just nuts. Now, the fallout of this, of course, is that I don't know when... Look, I got nothing but love for you snowplow drivers. Really. I really do. I would like to know why we are not trying to plow from curb to curb. Oh, I'm sure there's a logical explanation. If the explanation is that, well, let's save money on gas because we won't have to work so hard to push all the snow back. Okay, you plowed once last year, like the 21-22 season. I think the plows were out one time. Okay, you had a surplus city. Let's plow the fucking streets because I have only got about 20 feet from curb to curb right now in front of my house. It's stupid. Like, I have two, you know, the pile that the plow leaves alongside the road. I have everybody. It's not just me. It's everybody. There's two of those. There's two piles of snow. There's like 6 feet of road on either side that's not being used right now. And like, I haven't even driven into like the older neighborhoods in the central part of the town because it, like in central Sioux Falls, it's probably, they probably just have like two tracks going through. Like you can drive four wheelers and snowmobiles in central Sioux Falls right now, but like a Miata, no. Well, not a Miata. Let's say like a Ford Ranger. That might be too big a vehicle. Okay. A Prius, not a chance. It's not happening. I don't know why it is, and I don't really care, but like, those machines are pretty big. Like, just plow the shit off to the side of the road, please. Can you just plow it? Plow it. Plow it all. Got an email from our school also this evening asking families to not park on the street behind the school at all for the next few weeks because they're struggling to get cars in and out safely with all the snow. Now, here's the funny thing with that is I understand the principal asking that 100%. Where would you suggest we go? Like, there's nowhere else to go. There isn't. Like, oh, okay, if we're not on this street, should we go to this street that's also only 20 feet wide to park on and have cars not move? Or we could try the other one on the other side that got 23 feet of space for all the cars. it would all get fixed if they just plowed. Just plow it all. Just I maybe there's a concern about like, well, we don't want to hit the curbs and damage it because then we go okay. We don't want to knock mailbox over. Oh, okay. I understand. But, like, you went by. Why did you just go by all of it? Just move it all. Just move it all. Move it all. Anyway. This does not smell like something. Like, this is not me hacking on the plow drivers. It's not. This reeks of some upper management tool bag in the city who's like, well, we can only send two down the street. Don't stay away from the existing piles on the side because the stuff. Yeah.
There was also a very funny thing last week on Thursday because Christmas break got extended by 2 days. 2 days and 2 hours. Finally, Thursday, kids went back to school in Sioux Falls with a 2 hour late start. And my daughter goes to Sioux Falls Lincoln. And on certain days of the week, I pick her and a neighbor girl up. And it was my day to pick them up on Thursday. And right at 3:15 on Thursday was when they, and it's coincidence, I'm sure they gave no thought to it whatsoever, but that was when they were removing snow from Cliff Avenue right in front of Lincoln, was when school was getting out at Lincoln. It was just, oh, if we could have timed this any worse, like, where else could we, like, let's remove snow from Western Avenue outside the Denny right after some country douche gets done with a concert. That's when we'll remove the snow from the roads there. Anyway. Okay. There. I railed on the snow enough. Just plow the streets, please. Please. That's all. What else have I been up to? Oh, I discovered a new favorite Instagram channel. Or channel? No, account. Kids Getting Hurt on Instagram. It's probably been around for a while. I just discovered it. My daughter showed it to me, and it's the best. It's all mostly little kids, occasionally older kids, but mostly I would say in the neighborhood of 5 to 6 and under for the most part, because, like, you know, toddlers fall down all the time and big kids run around and knock toddlers down all the time accidentally. Now, none of it is like graphic injuries. It's all, some of them are kind of like, ooh, ow, but They're all usually followed with, like, the ones that look bad will usually have a caption that says, "Mom and Dad said they're fine." And, like, people are submitting videos of their own children falling down and getting hurt. And there's been a bunch of sledding videos lately. It's fantastic. If you haven't checked it out, they have like 4.5 million followers. I don't know how I hadn't heard of it. It's fantastic. But anyway, Kids Getting Hurt on Instagram. Follow it. You'll love it. What else? I have been listening to, okay, if you haven't seen The Terminal List yet on Amazon, great series. Chris Pratt, fantastic series. There's probably going to be a season 2 of it. It's based on the Jack Carr book. Jack Carr is a former Navy SEAL who, instead of writing a biography of what a badass he was, he writes a fictional account of somebody who's a badass Navy SEAL. And the books are pretty good. Pretty good. Like, the first one is definitely the best. I've listened to all of the audiobooks that are out for free on Libby right now through the Siouxland libraries. The latest one, In the Blood, is not free. I'm going to end up buying that one because I really want to listen to the next audiobook. I don't read books. I don't have time to read books. I listen to a lot of audiobooks. So that's how I listen to it. And yeah, they're pretty good. I enjoy them a lot. Starting with about the second one, he's become a bit of a shill for some of his friends that own businesses or companies because there's a lot of product placement. Like, Black Rifle Coffee gets mentioned way too much in the books. It's like, Jesus Christ, how much has Evan Hafer given you to do this? Like, seriously? Like, there's all kinds and Sig Sauer, good, like, pistols that shoot when you drop them. Okay, let's put ads for those in there. Anyway, those are really good. I highly recommend the Jack Carr books, even though he's shelling people stuff for free. Oh, what else? What else? What else? What else? Oh, there's the one I'm listening to right now, actually, is not a Jack Carr. It's another series I watched on Amazon over, like, the Christmas time was Reacher on Amazon. It's not as good as The Terminal List, but it's pretty good. The guy who's in it, what is his name? Atchison? He's huge. He's enormous. I can't think of what his name is. I'm looking it up right now. He's a big boy. Alan Richson is his name. He's a large man. It's a pretty good show. I enjoyed it. And now I'm listening to the audiobook that that series is based on. It's the book came out in 1997. It's called The Killing Floor. And it's a, yeah, it's a crime thriller. He's like a retired Army MP investigator. And he runs around and beats people up and gets, yeah, it's worth watching. It's not as good as The Terminalist, but it's pretty good. That's on Amazon. That's worth watching. And I'm reading the book, and it's pretty good. The thing that's interesting, though, is the audiobook version of it. The guy really takes his craft seriously. He talks slowly. Like, when I looked at how long it was, it's like, I think it's 15 or 16 hours. I'm like, really? Like, just a regular old fictional thriller novel audiobook is 16 hours long? And then I started listening to it, and I discovered why. He really stretches words out longer than they need to be. So, it's the first thing I've ever listened to at faster than 1x speed. I've got it on 1.25 speed. And then it sounds about right. It sounds about the way I would want it to sound. I tried 1.5. It's a little too motor-mouthy, and I didn't care for it. I didn't care for it. But 1.25, it was okay. But good Lord, that was just like, yeah. So, listen to that on the way back from the Black Hills, and on the way there, most of it. Yeah, that's pretty good. Yeah, Black Hills was fun. We went to Rapid. My daughter had a gymnastics competition, and it just happened to also be my son's birthday. He wanted to go to the Watiki Water Park Resort out there, and that place is great if you haven't been there. It's a little cheaper to go during the winter, and the hotel rooms are pretty reasonable in the winter, because if you go there in the summer, hotels at that water park are, they're not as bad as during the rally, but they're not cheap. This time of the year, they're not too bad. Like you can get them for, under $100 rooms. And then the water park's like $12 ticket, I think, for an all day pass. Not bad. One thing they used to do there that I liked was if you bought a wristband, it was good until like, was it 10:30 the next day or something like that? So you could use it while you were still staying in the hotel. Well, now they went to this RFID system, which is a giant pain in the balls. The wristbands suck. They fall off constantly. Both of my boys had theirs fall off. Well, my youngest had his fall off twice and the other one once. They were playing rough, of course, but still. And then, oh God, here's the other thing. And again, I still like the place, but they gave all the lifeguards really big whistles, and they like to blow them a lot. Like, almost as much as the public pools in Sioux Falls. Almost. The difference is it's indoors. And some girl came up behind me and blasted her whistle right behind me. I'm sitting in the pool. Apparently, it was my boy. I'm sitting right in front of my boys, and she came over to tweet her whistle at them because they were... they weren't holding hands or singing Kumbaya or something. They were just doing what boys do. It wasn't a big deal. But she came over to blow the whistle in my ear, and like, it was painful in my ear. Like, next time we go, I'm bringing my old referee whistle, and I'm just going to stand right next to a lifeguard and go, tweet! 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 Oh, is that annoying? Okay, can you use your voice and tell kids to not do dumb stuff? Thank you. Because my eardrums are bleeding for crying out loud. I won't do that, but I want to. Anyway, I have a summer shandy in my hand. If you're feeling blue, have a summer shandy. It's in a yellow and blue can. Okay, so... yeah, that's basically what I've been up to. My shooting preseason is on. I'm in the back end of the time of year where I, first thing in the morning, I wake up, I grab coffee, I come down to the basement, and I dry fire. It's like practice for shooting my matches that I like to shoot. USPSA. I will do that for a good half hour every morning and practice. So that's kind of fun. Like, I was itching to get into it again. Usually I'm like, I don't need to do that anymore. I'm tired of it. And having a little off season works. Keeps me like, I don't know. It's just good to take time off from it. Cause I, you know, doing it year round would be a little bit much. I still do a little bit of stuff here and there just for like teaching purposes. But for the most part, like November, December, I pretty much only shoot at classes and then, and don't really dry fire at all. And now I'm back full swing into my preseason. So that's fun. SiouxFallsShooting.com. Sign up for a shooting class. What classes could you sign up for? Well, I could even just go. Why don't I just go to my website and just kind of read off. So January 14th, South Scout Enhanced Permit / Renewal Course. That is this Saturday. It costs $89. That's the only money you will pay for a permit in South Dakota is taking the class. Class usually takes about 7 hours. We have a classroom portion that is, by law, it's required to cover basic firearm safety. And within the context of that, we'll talk about like, so what's good and bad about various pistols for concealed carry and self-defense. And a lot of people think it's like the, my favorite pistol show. That's not what it is. It's more like there's no such thing as like the best, perfect, most greatest thing ever. It's like, there's good ones, but they all have drawbacks. And so we just sort of go through all those. And then we go through the law, like firearms law, self-defense law in South Dakota, and then also the use of force, like constitutionally allowed uses of deadly force and force based on Supreme Court doctrine and things like that. And we watch videos that are examples, and there gets to be discussions and sometimes arguments among the students. And even sometimes somebody will want to argue with me about it, and I'll be like, okay, which is always kind of funny when someone wants to argue with me about something like, all right. Anyway. So yeah, bring an open mind and come to that. It's really eye-opening. Like the use of force stuff is really eye-opening. And also when you're, if you've never watched videos around that sort of thing, it can be kind of shocking to all of a sudden, oh, that guy got shot. Oh, there was actually like a pretty shocking video just came out of Houston here just this past weekend. Guy goes into a, I think they were calling it a taqueria. Comes in, he's blindfolded, he's waving a gun around, he's getting money from everybody that's in this restaurant. And he wasn't paying close attention to everybody. And as he walks past one guy, the guy shoots him and down he goes. And he ends up shooting him a total of 9 times. And according to news reports, the police are not looking to charge him, but they would like to talk to him. I'm not 100% sure I believe that, but I mean, for the most part from the video, like it looked like on the way the law is written, and it's not just because it's Texas, like the constitutional standard for the use of force, it's allowed. So like if someone's waving a gun around at you and other people, like their life is in imminent jeopardy of serious bodily injury or death. So there you go. That's how that kind of works, but we get into a lot more detail than that. Okay, other classes. Intro to Handgun. What is that class? Well, Intro to Handgun is what you would think. It's Introduction to Handguns. This is for a class for somebody who's never shot a gun ever in their life, or just on very few occasions, like they've got a little experience but don't really know anything about it. Who else this is for? This is also for people who have been, I've been around guns all my life, but I've really only ever fired a shotgun before. I don't really know what I'm doing with a pistol. It's also for those folks. If you are a woman, well, I've got good news for you if it's what you're looking for. Regular Intro to Handgun classes are about 80 to 90% female. I do have one that is women only coming up. Between you, me, and the wall, that's really just kind of a marketing thing. because it just is. It, you know, I have more people signing up for that one just because it's women only. I used to do nothing but women only, but there were always men who wanted to take it too. And I'll say this, ladies, if you're looking at taking an intro class and you're like, oh, I'd rather do a women's only, but I could go on the 15th, but I can't go on the women's only date on February 4th. Well, here's the thing. The men that are in an intro to handgun class are the kind of guys you won't mind having there. They're not the ones with the ego who think they know what they're doing and are going to be like, here, let me just, no, here, come on, no. They're not those kind of guys. It's people who have an open mind and they're like, they're not so egomaniacal to think, oh, I know everything. No, I don't know everything and I want to learn about this. So here I am. So that's who's showing up for that class. It's people who are really just there to learn and get all their first questions answered. And there are all kinds of questions. Like in the last class, there were, you know, questions that if it was asked in an enhanced class, yeah, there might have been a snicker or two. But I also would have kicked those people in the ass like, shut up. It's really a great class to like come and learn. And we do a bunch of activities. We can do so many activities, exercises during the class. So it's not just sitting there, you know, listening to me drone on and on for 3 hours before we go spend a couple hours in the range. I provide everything for that class. You don't need to bring a thing except a sack lunch. I provide all the guns and the ammo as part of the class. That's included in your class fee. If you have your own pistol that your husband bought for you, that's probably the wrong pistol for you. You go ahead and bring that and I'll show you why it's the wrong pistol. Actually, I won't have to show you. You'll figure it out on your own why it's the wrong pistol. That's the beauty of it. I don't have to tell people that, oh, this gun my husband got me was the wrong one, or this gun I picked out for myself was not a great choice. It wasn't. Like after shooting all, because I always make everybody shoot all of my guns first, then you can shoot your own gun that you brought afterwards. And usually pretty quickly if it's something. And by the way, what I'm talking about is really small guns. Really small, really cute guns are really hard to shoot. And that's what people find out, because they'll shoot full-size Glock 17s that are the same pistols the Sioux Falls Police Department carries. And they're like, okay, yeah. And then they'll try the CZP-07, and that gun, they either love it or they hate it. There's not really any in-between in that gun. We'll shoot a Smith & Wesson M&P. We'll shoot a Smith & Wesson revolver that nobody loves, but I like, you know, including that in the experience. Shoot a cool little Ruger 22. Not little, it's a Mark IV. And if you don't know what these guns are, it doesn't mean anything, but really neat pistol. And then, what else? I kind of change it up from time to time. Sometimes a Beretta, sometimes not. It just kind of varies. It just depends on what I'm feeling on a given day. Sometimes a dot gun if I've got a functioning dot. I just got mine back from Hollow Sun because it has like a ring and then a dot in the middle, and the dot died. I still had the ring, so it kind of worked, but it was stupid. So I sent it in for a warranty and they just replaced the whole thing because they didn't want to fix it, I'm guessing. So anyway, that's intro to handguns. It's literally just, we're going to learn about handguns today. And a lot of stuff is focused on safety and like how to go about doing everything, you know, how to operate the pistol and do it safely. Oh, let's see. What else do we have? Pistol skills. So pistol skills is a class that is all shooting. There's no like classroom part of it. That is literally a shooting technique class, and it will hit you wherever you are in your shooting. The only prerequisite really is that I already know how to load and handle my gun. If you suck at shooting, that's fine. That's just fine. As long as you know how to load it and unload it and, you know, do all the things with it that you need to do, all the administrative things, that's what then you're good to go for this class. That's kind of the whole point, is to get better. But it's not an introductory class. So that's why I do ask that you already know how to do that stuff before you take a pistol skills class. Because I don't want to take up a bunch of time like helping you load a magazine when I could be helping people with techniques and things like that. So, but no, it's usually about 4 to 5 hours long. It can sometimes be shorter if it's a smaller class, but we basically just go through all the things you need to know how to grip a pistol properly and shoot it fast and accurately. And what's most interesting that most people find out is, oh, it's better if I relax. Like, just relax, just don't tense up your muscles. Like, if you, like, ball up all your muscles like you're about to be in a car accident, like, that, it doesn't work. Your shooting doesn't go well that way. You're better off to be, if you do yoga, like, be in the frame of mind you're in when you're doing yoga as you're shooting the pistol, but just move it from place to place quickly and pull the trigger quickly, but everything else, be relaxed. I actually had a private lesson with a yoga instructor one time, and I had to tell her to relax. And I even said, I didn't know she was a yoga instructor. It was she and her husband. They had a couples lesson, and she was really, really tense. Like, her upper back, it's a thing that people will do. They'll really hulk out with their shoulders and their upper back being really tense, trying to, you know, control the recoil and tame it down. And it actually works against them, because then their arms and guns start moving like a diving board after you jump off it, like, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And I was like, have you ever done yoga before? You know, you just sort of like breathe it all out and relax. And she looks at me and goes, I'm actually a yoga instructor. And her husband about peed himself laughing. And she's like, that's the first time anyone has ever needed to tell me to relax. I was like, well, relax. Like, just let it happen. Quit trying to, like, you're still in control. Just don't try to muscle it. And yeah. So, pistol skills, you'll start off, you know, we'll shoot slow, make sure everybody can, like, hit stuff at will at, you know, what, as long as it takes to shoot one shot. And then we start speeding you up, start going faster and faster and faster. And then we put in multiple targets, and it's a really fun class. And the coolest thing about it is, if you're already, you know, you already kind of know what you're doing, but you just want to get better, well, you can still get better at this class too. It's just, mainly it'll show you how to diagnose a lot of your own problems on your own and then be able to work off of that. So there is that. AR rifle / carbine skills. That's coming up on May 6th. That only has 8 people in it. Just because stuff takes longer with a rifle. So I only have 8 people in that class, and that's how many I had in the first one. I was going to allow 12, and I found out, 8 on this range at Canton is, any more would be kind of hard to manage. So only 8 spots allowed in that class. That's basically the same as pistol skills, except it's with a AR-15 or whatever similar. Like, if you wanted to shoot a 9mm AR, or if you want an AK, whatever, it's fine. But it's basically semi-automatic rifle shooting class, 100 yards and less. Mostly less. We never even shot all the way to 100 yards when we did it in the fall. About 75 yards is about the farthest I think we went, which is plenty. It's not a sit and go, pew, pew. Like, you're going to go through 300 rounds, easy peasy. Maybe more in that class. But it's the same sort of thing, just learning to move the gun around quickly, pay attention to what your eyes are telling you, and just get better at shooting it, including moving around. That's another thing in pistol skills too. There's like movement components, not just like standing in one place. Like, one thing I take pride in is ruining static ranges for people. Like, a lot of times after people will take a lesson or a class from me, not necessarily an enhanced class, because that is more of like standing on a line shooting, but lessons or skills classes, like, we're moving around. We're doing different dynamic stuff that you don't really get to do at ranges. And it makes regular range shooting kind of boring, where it's just like, oh, there's a thing, let's see if we can hit it. I mean, that still can be fun, but it's, I don't know, I like to move around and do stuff. So that's what the rifle carbine class is. I also last fall did a couple of hunting rifle classes. I will bring those back probably mid to late summer. Fantastic for someone who is, if you're newer to it, or you're a hunter, but you're not really a gun guy or gal, you know. A friend of mine actually signed up for that class last fall, and he's been hunting for years and years, but he's not really a shooter. Like, his rifle is literally just a tool for hunting. No, not much different than his binoculars. I have a pair of binoculars that I wanted to match, and I have never given any thought to them other than, are the lenses clean? Okay, sweet. And they're like decent ones. You know, it's like, do they do the job I need them to do? Yes, they do a fantastic job. Okay, I don't really get into the nuances of binoculars. That's kind of how he was with his rifle. There were a lot of things that he never really thought about. And that class opened his eyes to a lot of things, and also just some, you know, little technique things. And that's what we go through. I also like introducing some shooting challenges, you know, stuff that even if you already are like a stud horse, you know, rifle shooter, that's cool. You can come too, because it's practice. And I'll have some specific challenges set up too. Like, we're going to lay on a funky hill. What hill? The one I'm going to create and make you lay on and shoot from it. Because I've had to lay on a hill like this and shoot at a deer before. One thing I'm definitely going to do after my hunting problems this year, I'm going to make people shoot through grass. What do you mean you're going to make them shoot through the grass? No, I'm going to, like, next to the rifle range at Canton, there's a bunch of tall grass that we don't mow. I'm literally going to cut it out of the ground with, like, a sod cutter or a shovel or something, and people are going to have to, like, deal with that and shoot through it, because it does screw with your bullets as they're flying down range. It screwed with one of mine this year, and I thought it was going to screw with my elk shot. It turned out it did not, thank goodness. But yeah, so that's that class, the hunting rifle class. Well, that'll be back. It's not on my website right now because I don't have a date scheduled. But anyway, so yeah, that was a little bit of a, I don't know, an infomercial on my classes. But hey, I'm self-employed, people. Go sign up for a class. Anyway, so there you go. There's that. And I think I'm actually out of stuff on my list to talk about. I am. Wow. By the way, the room I'm sitting in right now is my office in my basement, which is also my gun room / reloading room. It literally looks like a bomb went off in here. I did finally get my hunting clothes put back into the duffel, but the duffel didn't even make it back to its spot. I've got bags from classes all over the place. I have my backpack, my range bag backpack is on the floor. My bag that I keep some of my podcast gear in, like if I have to record in the living room, I have a bag that I keep all that stuff in. I really should just make a rack so I can move it out there. My dry fire shorts. Yes, I have dry fire shorts. What are dry fire shorts? Well, dry fire shorts, it's a pair of shorts that I will normally wear in the summer to shoot a match. And it has my inner belt already in the belt loops. So I, no matter what I'm wearing, if I'm wearing sweats, like I'm going to go to the gym afterwards, it doesn't matter what I put on for the day up in my bedroom. When I come downstairs, I will have a pair of shorts with belt loops and my inner belt, the Velcro only belt that I can then put my outer belt on, like competition belts or like a two piece thing, like cop belts. I didn't realize until I got into this sport, or they're usually a two piece belt as well. And so then I just have to like take my pants off, put on the shorts, and then put my gun belt on, and away I go. Yeah. And, so those are there. and just general mess. My reloading bench, I've tried so hard to just, like, when you get done with something, put it away. I can't do it. I just can't. That's not how my brain works. It's on to the next thing. Like, drop whatever I'm using, grab the next tool that I need, and then use that. Could I do that? Could I put that other tool away? No, of course not. I'm in a hurry. Time is money, people. I have a summer shandy in my hand that I haven't drank all of. Oh, so good. I'm so glad it's back. Yeah, it's a disaster down here. But anyway. Yeah, so I also do private lessons. And it's basically kind of the same thing that pistol skills is. It's just one-on-one. And in a shorter time frame. I actually have a lesson tomorrow that I'll be doing. So, yeah, I guess that's all I got for the podcast this week. Thank you for listening. By the way, I just wanted to say thank you, thank you, thank you. I got some better analytics for my podcast and found out there's actually a lot more people listening on a regular basis than I realized. And if you're one of those, thank you very much. I have multiple sects of people. I meant sects, S-E-C-T. Different types of people who listen to my podcast. There's people who used to listen to me on the radio and listen to me because I'm a familiar voice and they liked it, and they still listen. But they mostly will listen to, like, interviews that I do that are, if it's a hunting episode, they'll listen to some of it, but probably not all of it. I have people who very specifically listen to the hunting episodes. Like, I've heard from a number of those people who are just, like, all about it. And one thing that's cool, and I gotta say, though, is there are, I've been in touch with a couple of people who are, like, late in life hunters who are, like, they're adults wanting to get into it, and that's fantastic. And if I'm helping lead anyone to that or can be of help to anyone doing that, like, by all means, shoot me an email sometime and I'll answer any question you have. And the most likely question you will have is, where do I apply for a tag? I can help guide you on the South Dakota GFP website and, you know, how to figure out where you want to go. Stuff like that. But anyway, yeah. But no, there's been a lot more people listening to this than I realized. And after I got good stats. And I am very appreciative of that. Thank you. Because I am really just doing this for fun and for, you know, promotion of my business and businesses. I'm going to be starting another one here shortly. So that's all I got. Thanks for listening this week. My shandy's gone, so it's time for a little Eagle Rare that I had out that I thought I would get to. And it's I poured a finger of it. And did you know a finger is about the width of your finger if it were wrapped horizontally around the glass? I figured that's what it was, but I actually Googled it to find out for sure. And turns out I was right. Thanks for listening.